Okay, good. We're going to begin. We're going to talk about Rav Asher Weiss has a, I don't want to say a well-known tshuva, because if I know it, it's a well-known tshuva, right? But Rav Asher Weiss has, on the topic of OCD, he wrote a very interesting tshuva, interesting response. So we're going to read through it. But that's the goal. You know, in the previous shiurim, I brought earlier sources, and then I showed what he said. I brought different sources. I think it's basically the whole tshuva, a whole responsum, but I have the translation. So go through it bit by bit. We'll go through an analysis. So we'll see the fact pattern, and we'll go through his analysis. So this is Minchas Asher, Siman Kuf Lamed Daled, Hanhagas Halacha Be OCD. Tam Nechacha Mufla Virei Shmayim Marbim Shesovel Mimikre Kashel Shel Obsessiviot. Yeah, it's obsessive youth. So he suffers from being obsessive, OCD. Ularov enemisugar lagot bracha kehilchasa, and for the most part he can't say a bracha. Olikro es hashma kehilchasa. He can't say the shma according to the halacha. He's unable to say it. V'lifamim nevak who's manrav lelo hoil, and sometimes he spends a lot of time trying to say Hashem's name without to no avail. Tilhotzi Hashem Hashem Karoi. He wants to say Hashem's name properly, but not doesn't work out. Veishal Agmas Nefesh Atzuma. There's a tremendous amount of sadness that he has. So many doctors feel that the way to treat this patient, Shalom lo yachsor pamayim al dibor o tfila. So you should never repeat in basically when if you're davening. You say a bracha, you daven, you don't go back. You do the best you can, you don't go back. Because the way, I guess, to treat OCD, if someone thinks I'm always making a mistake, is to train someone, just do the best you can and move forward.
Do you do the same with stutterer?
I don't know the answer to that question.
It sounds like it would be the same.
Right, whatever you this is not, I'm not a mental health expert, so I don't know how to deal with that, but and if you weren't successful the first time to say the bracha or the tefillah correctly, you don't try it again. And he says, because of this, through this, he should hope to save from his distress. It's called exposure and response prevention therapy, a form of cognitive behavioral therapy. So Taman Chacham Zed Navshel B'Sheilaso Kasher Barolo Kashem Shlohagas Hashem Kadin. So this is a Torah scholar, a God-fearing person, and when it's clear, let's say he knows for sure that he didn't get God's name right. He knows for sure he didn't do the bracha correct. He didn't satisfy his obligation with the bracha. Ha'im Mutal Lechol. You got to eat food. Right? You can't eat food without making a bracha. You know you did the bracha wrong. The doctors say, no, well, you're not going to be cured. And maybe you could say, let's say you say it's permitted. Say you say it's permitted to eat without making the correct bracha. So maybe is there a difference between derais and rabbanon? Maybe I should only eat if I have this condition. I should eat mizonos, or I should eat only foods that would not necessitate a birkas hamazon derais. Because clearly, if I'm not going to be saying the bracha correctly, so I'm potentially not going to be yotzei. So there's a general halacha, there's a general principle that when we have to override prohibitions for health reasons or for medical reasons, whatever the case is, and let's say the Torah allows it, we should try to minimize the prohibition. So the question is, so maybe if I know I'm going to get stuff wrong, okay, we can't make the person starve, and we want to treat the person, okay, so just don't have hamotzi, don't have bread. Okay, so that's the question. Okay? So the Nira Bazel Halacha. So he says the following. It seems according to halacha. By the way, sometimes when people ask questions, you might think they're just looking for a heter, they're looking for a leniency. You can imagine this Talmud Chacham is not, Sometimes you may have to tell him. Sometimes you have to tell people that they must be lenient. You can imagine someone, especially someone who's suffering from OCD, he wants to be sure he gets the bracha correct, and he's afraid he's never saying the bracha correctly. So sometimes, I just want to point out, sometimes when people ask questions, you may think that the person's only asked a question to get a heter or leniency. Sometimes it's not that at all. Sometimes you have to convince them that what they're doing is halachically sound when they take a more lenient view. Just something to keep in mind. So near bazel halacha, the reishis chovaso shel ish zeh lasis kol nidrash amanas limtzo chaviv mizor merapel machlaso. A person should always do whatever is required to find healing from this illness. Well, the shame kach muter lo afil lavra mitzvah satora result mechado treitame. And he says, and you can even override prohibitions for at least one or two reasons. And now he's going to go through this analysis. Kvar be'arti b'makomach. I already said it in another place. The Rashi Adam levatol mitzvah sasei. You can override a mitzvah sasei. It does not do something. Kadesh lo yipol lemishka v'yechla. He says that you are allowed to set aside a positive mitzvah so you don't become sick. How do we know that? The impater hu min levazves hon rav al hamitzvos. There's a rule. We think we studied this in last year. But the rule is hamavazves al yavazves yosei mechomesh, that you're not allowed to, let's say you're giving tzedakah, you're not allowed to actually give more than 20% of your net worth. It's a question of how to calculate that. In other words, we want you to make sure you take care of yourself. So you can't overspend for a positive mitzvah. Not for a negative, but for a positive mitzvah. So he's making the argument that if we say that you can't spend tremendous fortune for a positive mitzvah, certainly you don't have to become sick. And you're allowed to avoid a positive mitzvah in order not to become sick. So he says, your body is more precious than your money. So his first argument is that since we're dealing with the you're not making a bracha, which is a positive mitzvah, so you'd be allowed to cancel out this positive mitzvah. You're allowed to not do this positive mitzvah in order to treat you to heal you from your medical treatment. The doctors believe that this is what will heal you, so you're allowed to not perform a positive mitzvah. Now the question is not making a bracha, is that a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah? He thinks it's a positive mitzvah, but can you make an argument that there's a prohibition here? You're about to eat food, so you have to make a bracha before you eat food. Is it only that you have to make a bracha before you eat food? A normal positive mitzvah is that, I don't know, I have to do this mitzvah. I have to do this at this time. Can you formulate it in a different way, maybe?
Don't eat such a...
Right. Now he's discussing. The Gemara in Bracha says, to aser la'adam, he continues, to aser la'adam le'hodos me olam hazeh li bracha. Right? In other words, you're not allowed to derive benefit from this world without a bracha. So he has to contend with that. So the question is, how do you view making brachos? Do you view making brachos as something... I mean, it's something active, but on the flip side, you're not allowed to, if you eat the food without making a bracha, you've done an iser. Especially if you view eating food without a bracha, let's say, as stealing. That's one way of looking. You're stealing from God, as it were. That's where the Gemara formulates it a bit. So just like you can't steal someone, you can't, taking the food without eating the food without making a bracha could be like kind of stealing, yeah? Right. You're not committing a sin.
They're not creating a sin, but they're putting themselves in a situation where they don't have to make the bracha.
Okay. That's a spirit of law issue. We talked about that. It's not an actual iser. So he argues, he wants to say, near the ikar de kadas rashi, there is ainza elabitl mitzvah. So he wants to say, this is apparently a debate. Is it a debate? Is it going into it? Do we view this as like you're violating, do you view it as you're not doing a positive mitzvah when you make the bracha, or do you view it as you're violating a prohibition when you eat the food without a bracha? So we this is a debate. We pass it like Rashi, there's a bitl mitzvah, I say, so we're on good grounds. That's number one. But then he says, the letter Beis, he says, Af im nomar, de oser lavar al iser, k'teli yisrapos. Said, even if you hold that you're not allowed to violate any prohibition in order to heal yourself, shiny nidon didon, our case is different. Share, behold, im lo yisrape v'yachlots mina meitzar, yevatel mitzvos eile lanetzach. So to what extent are we concerned about long-term considerations? Right? So, and to v'chol ki agavda, in cases like this, amrinan, mutav shi'chalo shabbos achas v'lo'ichalo shabbos es harbe. So he has there's a principle that we all know, right? We all know that we're allowed to, if someone, God forbid, is in a life-threatening situation, you're allowed to violate Shabbos. Why are you allowed to violate Shabbos to save someone's life? So the truth is there are different formulations to why you're allowed to do that. One formulation simply is, the Torah says, v'chai behem v'lo shimus behem. The Torah says, v'chai, observe a mitzvah, v'chai behem, you should live by that. Which simply means that you don't have to die for mitzvah, except for a few. But simply, you can look at it that way. That simply, that there is an obligation to live by the Torah. You don't have to die through observing the Torah. Obviously, there are some exceptions. But another formulation is that mutav shi'chalo Shabbos achas, better violate this Shabbos so that you can observe many more Shabbosos. Okay? So the question is, cost-benefit analysis. So the question is, do we apply that to this? In other words, better not say brachos properly for a number of times. I don't know how long the treatment lasts. So that, long term, you're going to say brachos really well. In other words, can you apply that principle to, can you apply the breaking Shabbos principle, so you'll observe many more Shabbos principle, to take this treatment such that you are probably not doing the brachos correctly, with the hope, with the goal, the reasonable likelihood, I question what's the likelihood, that in the future, you'll be saying brachos really well in the future. That's the argument, yeah?
Maybe I'm missing something here, but I don't see that the lisrapos over here. This person has OCD, so they're focusing on one particular act of his, but the OCD is all, is
right.
Entire life. So
right.
Whether or not he says the bracha right or wrong,
right.
We have no indication that think that it's
going to
improve his condition.
No, the doctor, it says in the tshuva, and again, the doctor said that the way to treat this OCD, in this, obviously there are ways to treat OCD probably by washing and other things, how to treat that, but they don't involve violations of halacha. So he's saying in this particular instance, right, doing this will violate the halacha in this particular issue. So can you, to treat it for, yeah, it's a good question, like, can you treat it with everything else and will it affect this, just you're asking, like, maybe you can do it. So again, the doctors believe, no, the doctors believe that the way to treat it is with this.
This treatment is not going to
right. So I think what he's arguing, again, this is called like exposure therapy. So it could be that he gets it right sometimes he doesn't necessarily get it right. You know, I'm saying he could be getting it right even most of the time, but there's sometimes he's not getting it right.
He's gonna feel if he has OCD, as I understand the illness, the question is not whether he's actually making the bracha incorrectly. He's always gonna feel he's making it incorrect.
Right. So it could be that once you no longer feel that, once you're treated, once you no longer feel that, then potentially you could correct your, let's say 95% of the time you get it right, and 5% of the time you get it wrong, right? So it could be, I'm probably speaking a little bit out of my lane here. No therapist, right? Right, so I could be speaking a little bit out of my lane here, but my assumption is that, let's say 90% of the time you're getting it right, 10% of the time you're getting it wrong. So it could be, so if I don't suffer at least from this kind of OCD. So if I make a mistake and I correct myself, it's not going to cause any problem for me. So it could be that once this person is treated and I won't say cured, so he can deal with it, then in the future, the 10% of times that he will make a mistake, he can correct himself without triggering any other types of problems. That's how I understood this. Okay? So he said this idea, again, in Halacha, in the Gemara, which talks about you can violate one Shabbos and say many Shabbos. This is a Shabbos Halacha. To what extent this should apply in other areas of Halacha? So he says, V'yasod zeh lamanati midivrei Chassam Sofer. I learned this principle from the Chassam Sofer. And he says, a certain response, a certain tshuva. And he says, Shekasa b'yeled shedino kishota. Let's say there's a child who has the status of a shota, mental capacity. He mutar lach niso lemosad shebo yitaplu bo v'yesh sikur lach limo lotzia mitorah shota. So, can you put him into an institution that will have a chance to heal him? He's chayv a mitzvah. So, right now, if you're a shota, you're not chayv a mitzvah. So, can you put him in a situation that will be chayv a mitzvah? Ela shebemosad zeh yachilu oso machalos asuras. They're feeding him non-kosher food. He mutar lach niso lemosad zeh. Can they put him in an institution where he's not going to have kosher food? So cut.
Tricky business with the medical treatment because we know the doctor may say do this and it's going to help, but we know from life it doesn't always work that way. In other words, so the doctor says, well, let's not say the bracha, but it'll help him become better, and not going to say the bracha. We don't know that.
We're hoping,
right. So obviously, right. Right. So by the way, right. So I'm going to make the following. This is the following response. Do you know that when we violate Shabbat to save someone from a physical illness, they also might not be saved, right? You know, it's for Savik Pekuach Nefesh, we're over our Shabbos. What I think, I don't want to read into what you're asking, but I think the question is, we tend to think that, like, social science is not as scientific as physical science. And I'm just saying, in the past number of years, there's been a lot more literature. I think we had someone here, right? Yoni Rosenzweig, I think maybe the year before, he came to speak about, he wrote a whole sefer on social science, on mental illness and how it applies to halacha. There's a greater awareness, a greater study that doing certain things will likely improve someone's situation. And obviously there's a separate question, which is just some doctor thinks this will help. Obviously it has to be someone who is actually, just like a medical doctor, when people tell me, this pregnant woman needs to fast at Yom Kippur, or else it's dangerous for the baby. Okay, maybe. I mean, I try to be as lenient as I can. If at the end of the day, the person wants to not eat, I'm not going to say if your doctor says fine. But you know, certain depends how sensitive you are to halacha. And how, because some doctors just say things because they don't want to be sued, or they're overly cautious. And obviously, I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm saying this is the same issue in the physical science world, not just in the social science world. So we need people who are serious experts in these fields, and also who. At least respect what halacha is. So I think it's a similar question, but it's a newer question because it seems it's not as scientific. Yeah. Okay.
We also know as a fact of life, very often, two doctors or many fields will often completely different.
Correct. But I mean, you're right, there are different things, but there could be, there are also, very often they're arguing on something very small, like, very often there are broad understanding, like this notion of exposure therapy, this is a well-documented treatment, you know, whether I'm a psychoanalyst or I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, okay, so there might be different types of ways to treat patients, but I think if something is a recognized treatment, so I think that is something that's respectful.
Maybe question.
Okay.
My question here, now, we're talking over here about
right.
One of the two, this was derisive.
Right? I'm talking because that's what, I'm just reading this tshuva.
Okay.
It's a fact pattern. That's a.
Well, Mrs. Rabbanan, I'm speculating, you wouldn't be as concerned as we are with the derisive. This is derisive. Okay, but here's my question. Is it possible, if a person, suppose a person is mute, he can't say the words,
right.
Also, or he can't say, well, he's not going to eat, not let my halal eat bread because he can't say, or will we say, that if the ultimate goal of Birkas HaMazon, to verbalize that in the first part of the law, if he thinks in those terms, in other words, he has all these ideas that he's thankful to Hashem for the food, and all the words that we say.
You're saying would the same analysis work for someone who, you're saying if someone cannot be treated, that's what you're saying. What if someone cannot be treated, that they are, I mean, a different situation. I don't know for sure. I would assume we were allowed. Again, when we say lachatchila, if someone can hear but they can't speak, so lachatchila, maybe you should listen to someone, and maybe say Shabbat Kol, they can listen, or even not. I assume we would probably be lenient in this instance, but I'd assume. But it's an interesting question. So because of that, some sofer, the imay dekach yisikul raposa pshita. He says even though if there is a chance that he'll recover, chance doesn't mean he will definitely recover. There's a chance. Pshita, it's obvious. Afim nomar tehevei bichlal sfiya biyadayim v'asim min haTorah. Even if you hold that it's for, we're talking about a child here, so I don't know if there's, we have to see. I have to remember what he writes about when he's bar mitzvah, but the case was with a child. So even if you hold that it's a Torah prohibition to feed a child forbidden foods, are we obligated to leave someone in a state of shota, quote unquote insanity, lack of mental capacity, so that he will always be exempt from mitzvos? So we see the point being that the Chassam Sofer is used to extend this leniency of violate one Shabbos to observe many Shabbosos in this particular case, beyond just Shabbos. Chassam Sofer hochich svarzu, and he wants to prove this, mima dematzinu, for that, from that which we find, b'misha b'halach b'midbar. Someone's journeying in the desert, and you don't know what day of Shabbos it is. You know what day Shabbos is. Shabbos l'asos b'lacha. You can't do b'lacha. Ela k'dei chayav. So you don't know when it's Shabbos. So any particular day could be Shabbos. It's a 1 in 7 chance that you're violating. It's a Russian roulette with Shabbos observance, right? Okay. So the Russian roulette, there's 6 bullets only. This is 7. So you have a better chance. You're not violating Shabbos. So he says, in this case, the Chazal say you're allowed to do that which is necessary to survive. So he says, whatever you need to survive, you can do. But you can't do more than that. But they never said that you can't leave the Tchum Shabbos. So apparently the halacha is that if you're stuck somewhere and you don't know when it's Shabbos, so you're not allowed to, like, you're not allowed to do any, the only thing you're allowed to do is whatever's necessary to keep you alive. Anything that's not to keep you alive, you're not allowed to do. And the one exception is you're allowed to keep on traveling. Because you're allowed to do whatever it takes so that you can observe more Shabbosos. That's his point. He says, Va'avta Pashut, the Yesh Lechalik, Dishani Vadai Misafek, maybe you can get the difference between where the outcome is certain as opposed to where it's a doubt. Ve'avshet Derakam Bechalik, Bamidbar, Debe Yisafek Aveira. You can say, maybe if I'm traveling the desert, it's a 6 in 7 chance I'm not violating Shabbos. The fact that, right, as opposed to where you're giving food, but nevertheless, he's really just bringing an idea, a source. Just to connect to what Tehbe seems is logical. That a person is allowed to transgress a prohibition to remove yourself from a situation in which you will be compelled to transgress that prohibition sevenfold. You're allowed to travel, even though you're going to traveling outside the Tchum Shabbos, so you could eventually observe Shabbos. And therefore, he wants to argue. So he says, so Rav Asher Weiss brings the Chassam Sofer, who allowed someone to place a child in a non-kosher facility where he thought that he would be rehabilitated, so then he might not be a shote in the future, he'd be obligated to mitzvah, so it's better to violate some Isurim, so that in the future you can observe mitzvahs. And then he says, and so it seems, also in our case, that that this person is allowed to be mevatel brachos and kriyat shema in order to be healed. So that in the future, when you are cured, then you can observe them in all according to all their precise halachos. So in the future, when you're cured, so then probably in the future, if you make a mistake, you can fix it when you're totally cured, and then there won't be this kind of problem. Uviyasod hasvara, and the basis of this logic, this rationale, hareiz doma. What Chazal say, Chalelav Shabbos Achas, K'dei Sheyishmor Shabbos Harbe, violate one Shabbos, so that you can observe many Shabbos. V'imlo Nati L'Levata Mitzvos Eila. And if we don't allow him to be Mevata these Mitzvos, be Ma'at in a little bit, L'Olam Lo Yisrape, he won't be able to be healed. V'itzvah Mevata Mitzvos Eila Tadir. And he's never going to be cured. You're constantly performing them incorrectly. Mitoch Shivron Lei V'Anachas Nefesh. He says, because he's always going to be like, am I observing that? Oh, maybe he's saying something different here, Mendy. He's saying that if you won't be cured, you're always going to be observing these mitzvos like with a broken heart and with an exhausted soul. Like, you know, you're not going to have the right kavana. You're not going to be, so I might be wrong about that. The OCD person, like, in other words, if he's never cured, he's never going to have the right mentality about, like, the right way. He's not going to be thinking about observing, doing the mitzvah the right way. He's always going, I messed up. So, like, he's not, it could be related to what I'm saying, but, like, it's also the kavana when he's doing the mitzvah also, maybe. He's not going to have, like, he's always doing the mitzvahs. He took shivron lei v'anachas nefesh. So you can never be in this.
Right.
Especially when you're doing the mitzvah, then maybe then you can't, if you're always distressed, you're not going to be able to do the mitzvahs correctly. And then he says, the next page, Varbe, Hisponanti, and I looked at a great deal, like he's trying to find support for this.
What's the argument against? What's the alternative here? Not to treat him and then end then what's the guy, how does that leave the guy in a better position, either from a personal point of view,
Well, I would say that this is not so new, it's a number of years old, but this is new, that we take mental health. I think it's odd, if you believe that this is an effective, potentially effective mental health treatment, so then you're going to want to do it. I think he's the first one to sort of say, oh yeah, this. Don't just say it's all mental health, so whatever is permitted. Mental health is important, but you can't violate an ISSR. No, but this really works. So I think I'm not sure there's an argument to say that it's forbidden unless you believe that the mental health treatment doesn't work, or if you couldn't. I think he makes a compelling argument. My point is this is new, relatively new. 20 years ago, you didn't have these kind of tshuvas.
The guy, forget what the treatment is. The illness is that the guy keeps repeating this endlessly.
Yeah.
And this treatment might help him to not feel.
So maybe you would say, maybe again, if you want to be very machmir.
Yeah.
You want to be really machmir?
Or
maybe have someone else make the bracha for him, or maybe not have bread. I'm not saying that anyone suggested something else, but there are stricter views. Okay, let him do it again. Let him do it again until he's convinced that he got it right. Maybe let him have a tape recorder. When he can hear that he did it right, then he doesn't have to do it again. You can think of different scenarios, right? In other words,
not so easily.
I'm not saying that anyone is, but I'm saying this is relatively new. You didn't have tshuvos about mental health 20 years ago. They didn't feel like this. Is this a real science? Right? Is this a real treatment? And then he says, Gedola Ver Lishma. A sin with pure intent is great. Now, obviously, that's like a big shaila. So he brings the story of Yael, Ishas, Hever, Akedi. So it's actually related to the Esther story, right? So he's going to say, he's going to go through this with the... No, not murder. No, that was okay. That was a murder. That was, she killed. That was legitimate. The killing was legitimate. But according to Chazal, she slept with him. And so she slept with him. It's not clear 100%. So she slept with this. Maybe she was not. He was non-Jew. And so, So it seemed to say that this would be permitted. If you skip to the next paragraph, he says, "Vidira de klal zed emar b'makob di efshar di alei shescheni basar atzva laveira." She gave herself over to sin kedei lahoshiyat Yisrael, to save the Jewish people. Pashut di efshar b'iracha. There was nothing to do. The atu titein lechol Yisrael legavad. We're going to let all the Jewish people die. Memena lamdu the makom shadaz the brua v'asvara yishara v'pshuta dosedes di efshar lidok b'sheiv al tasa. So the case of Yael, Eishes Chever Arkady, where she knew that there's no other option, then you can do this. Even though it's not clear, because to save the Jewish people, but you're violating Gilui Arayos potentially, it's greater, an Avera, it's a well-intentioned sin was wonderful. Avim Shem Shemai, right? Don't try this at home. Okay, you know, it's like by the way, this is right. So what? Exactly right. This is often used with Esther, right? I was given shiur about this before. Like with Esther, if she was married to Mordechai, then she, you know, did she sleep with the king Gilui Arayos, and was this allowed? And this is gave a shiur here before about these what's it, the honeypot. The spies, the Israeli spies, you know, to work for the Mossad, who sleep with the enemy in order to save the Jewish people. So this gets into this Aver Lishma question. The question is that you could argue, like, in terms of this proof, this is to save all of Klal Yisrael potentially. That's a little different than our case, I'm just saying. So V'sabachti, so V'rosi Shuv, V'smachtu Maran Bal Kilos Yaakov. The fact, in my opinion, the fact that Rav Asher Weiss brings this case of Gedola Avera Lishma, it means there's not a lot out there. Because at least the Chassam Sofer's case, I think, is very similar to our case. The Yael Eishes Chever Arkady, that was saving all of Klal Yisrael. And say it's an Avera Lishma, it's more of you're setting it. I don't look at when one is violating Shabbos, you know, to save someone's life, driving to the hospital to save someone's life. I don't look at it as an aver lishma. I view it as this prohibition does apply when it's pikuach nefesh. Aver lishma is you're doing something that under the normal rules, you know, under the normal rules, it's forbidden, but maybe there's something overriding, like to save a national concern. So, so obviously, in my opinion, he's looking for stuff. But in any case, v'samachti b'rosi shuvas mashikasuv, I mean, he feels it's the same. So, but so the Kilos Yaakov, this is Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. I think he's the father of Chaim Kanievsky, the Kilos Yaakov. So he says So apparently he told someone to daven from this siddur. Umashikvar avar lo yachzar, whatever he had already done, he should not repeat. If he thinks he didn't do what was correct, or shadilik table, so he thinks he skipped words. He said, "Barosha al pi alacha ein b'chuyav yoser." According to alacha, you're not chayav more. Aval iefshar lahaspir, he says, iefshar lahaspir davar zeh shehu lemi shehu ba'atzabim mituchi b'inyan zeh. It's very difficult to say someone whose nerves are stretched in this matter. In other words, this people who say, I need to repeat it, I didn't say the halacha. Those people want to be machmer. We're not talking about someone who was looking for a heter. The person wants to be strict. Sometimes you can't say that. So if it says, V'lechein tzorech lomar lo behechleine v'litam, ulai yesh rak laspir lo shechshash doraisa ein kan. So he says, you should say that, just say there's no concern of a Torah prohibition. And v'koshi l'harach b'inyan zeh. In other words, you should tell the person, there's no concern of a deraisa. Right? What if it is a deraisa? But at least when it comes to davening, in most instances, it's probably only a derabanan, right? Because tefillah, for the most part, is derabanan. Even the Rambam holds just saying, Shevach Bakashin Odaya is deraisa. The Ramban holds that all our tefillahs are derabanan nowadays. You could rely on that. So he says, you could say, there's no concern of a deraisa, so certainly it's okay. But don't get into it in detail, because if you go into it in detail, he's going to fight you back. And he's going to say, no, I want to repeat it. So he says that Rakti Lahoroslo Shibachol Basha Ovar Lo Yachzor Shuv Od HaPam. Just sometimes paskin, I just tell the trust me, there's no Issa Doraisa. Usually the person who wants to be machmir will be mevatel as das to das Torah. Say if the rabbi said this, I'm okay with this. So just tell him, don't give him the whole svara. Don't tell him, you're really not doing this now, but in the future, so you can, don't tell him that. Don't lie, but just tell him there's no Isser Doraisa, and don't get the details.
It's hard for me to imagine that a person who's played with OCD is going to accept the rabbi's saying, don't ask him a question.
He will, because
he will,
because a lot of these people are very machber, and they're down, if their Rebbe tells them not, then they'll listen to the Rebbe. What? Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Uvasov Tvarav Kasav, and he says, thank God, he says, Habachar Azeh Nisrapim Eshezman. He was cured by this. And now he has a prestigious position. So he said that sometimes this works. So then he goes, that his next piece is that, well, now, maybe should he never eat the requisite amount of food, so he's never obligated to bench. He says, no, you shouldn't be concerned about this. It would be the topic of already sparla ill, because the reason I said above, he said, it doesn't help for you to avoid eating bread, because the whole way to treat yourself, he sort of avoids the problem a little bit here, but he says the whole way to treat yourself is not to be concerned that you didn't do the right thing. So the way you treat yourself from this OCD is to just eat the food regularly, recite the brachos as you think, and then I'm good, and not worry about it. So v'im nifsok lo limana me'achilas pask de sviya, you might say elef shelos nosafos. If you tell him, okay, don't have a sufficient amount of bread, that will lead to thousands more questions. Maybe I can eat, you know, what people do on Yom Kippur, I can have less than a shot glass within 9 minutes. Well, how many minutes? Is it 9 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes? How much? What's considered about? So that
it's a very practical
thing. Right, he gives a very practical thing. Correct, and he says that there could be other types of questions, and maybe did I sleep his Shinas Keva, so I'm exempt from Birchas HaTorah. He has a whole bunch of questions. There ain't no davar sof. So he actually doesn't answer the question of if you can avoid violating an Isser Doraisa, if you could be treated still and avoid eating the Isser Doraisa, should you do that? So he's saying maybe if you can avoid violating an Isser Doraisa, you should not violate an Isser Doraisa for the purpose of treatment. But he's saying here, if you try to avoid violating an Isser Doraisa or potentially violating an Isser Doraisa regarding benching, it's going to harm the treatment. So it's an easy case here. Okay? Now the... It's not going to work. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. It's not going to, the treatment's going to be ineffective. So it's going to make it worse. I'm just saying he doesn't address that. If there was a specific question where there would be an Isser Doraisa that you're contending with and you're just trying to heal yourself, and you could, should you try to avoid the Isser Doraisa? If there's a way to treat the person without violating the Isser Doraisa, maybe you should. But here, there's no way to do that because it's not going to be an effective treatment. That's what he's saying here. The final piece, he says, turn the last page. He says, "Am nam yesh la'ayin." We need to examine ketzad yotis b'nei beisol b'kiddush hayom v'eino hoges es kilchaso v'afi matzini lo heter ach mayasu b'nei beisol shloimu kiddush kilchaso. What do you do about the people of his house about kiddush? Could he say kiddush for them, or should you have other people in the house say kiddush? So here he says, better that his wife should make kiddush at home. And if there are children who are bar mitzvah, they should make kiddush. And he says, when there are guests, the last paragraph, when there are guests, he should overcome his embarrassment and ask them to make kiddush. and he shouldn't make Kiddush. So it's interesting that for his own purposes, he says at the end of the day, he said, Uchshem Shein Adam Bosh, the last line, Bosh B'magbala Gufadich, Shebohu Loka. Just like if someone has a physical limitation, he shouldn't be embarrassed from it. So also he shouldn't be embarrassed by this limitation, which is not an easy thing, but what's interesting, so he's very sympathetic, tries to find a way to treat the individual, but at the end of the day, he realizes that this bracha that the person's making, it will very often not be a halachic bracha. Because what we're telling him,
it's not
probably many and many times it's not. That's probably the problem is.
Let's just say this.
Let's say there's a chance. There's probably some reasonable chance that every time he makes the bracha, he's doing it wrong, and he thinks it all the time.
How is it different than when we make it?
Because if then we tell him you missed something, so you got to say it again. That's gonna harm his treatment. In other words, the assumption here is that there is some possibility or some reasonable possibility that he's going to make a mistake.
That's not the way I understand the illness. That's not the way I understand the problem. He's the guy who suffers from this illness, from this condition, is not going to make a bracha any more improperly than anybody else who would make a bracha.
Why?
He's going to make the bracha. He's going to make the bracha as correctly as you would make the bracha.
They say he left out words.
Then that's a different illness.
I think it's both.
The situation.
No, I think it's both. I think it's both. That
he thinks no matter how many times he says it, he always thinks.
No, look. If you go to the very beginning. In the very beginning, the fact pattern is there's a student who suffers from OCD and, for the most part, is unable to say a bracha or say Shema correctly. That those are the facts. So it's both. It's, number one, he has OCD, and number two, he has trouble saying the brachos correctly. For a separate reason. Those are the facts. I can't tell you, like... I think it's, well, you could say, you could not think it is, but he's discussing the facts. There are two different issues. The person suffers from OCD, and number two, he has difficulty saying a bracha. There are people who have trouble saying brachos, right?
He has two concomitant situations. One is he's failing to say the bracha, and his OCD is making him crazy.
Right. I think they're both issues. They're both issues. So we see this is like a beautiful example, I think, of someone who's trying to find the solution, but he still takes the halacha very seriously. And he's going to say again, he finds a way so that when he's reciting the bracha, he can still be treated by not repeating it. But it comes for other people if he's making mistakes. So in that case, he would say, have someone else make the bracha. In that situation, hopefully, he'll be treated and to minimize the prohibitions, allow other people to be yotze their obligations.